Well, welcome to Art Speak Radio. Michael Hogue filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd. She and Mr. Boyd are out traveling the country, seeing some of the fine sights around this great land of ours. And glad to be here filling in for her this week. She scheduled a great show, let me tell you. I'm not going to have much to do at all, so the degree of my being able to mess this up will be really low. Victor and Penny are here. Kansas City's own Victor and Penny. They're going to be here. They're going to play music for us here today. Isn't that exciting for them? Of course, Victor and Penny, this is how they were described. This is what I wrote down. We'll see if they agree or not. A corset-tight duo with charming hot licks, tight vocal harmonies, dazzling guitar work, and a fiery ukulele. That would be Aaron, I guess. They put the swing, the jump, and the dance and the roll in Prohibition-era jazz with clever and original tunes as well. Welcome to the show. Maria would welcome you, wherever she is.
That usually happens at night, but we'll see what we can do.
It's more difficult to do a noontime gig when you're used to playing at night.
We've done it before. So,
we buck up. Yeah, at least it's not like 8 a.m. I think we've done some early morning ones that have been, that's hard.
Well, let me do a proper introduction here. Jeff Freeling, he was with the Blue Man Group in Chicago. Has to be difficult, Jeff.
Yep.
All that working together.
Yeah.
The Berklee School of Music in Boston, the Conservatory of Music in Kansas City, participated in the acoustic guitar project in 2014 and is an accomplished composer, arranger, and outstanding instrumentalist. Aaron McGrain is Penny. She is the Arts Casey Fund Inspirational Grant recipient and Mid-America Arts Alliance Professional Development Grant recipient as well. She was with the cabaret group A La Cartuna. You probably remember them. She is the co-host on the Independent Filmmakers Coalition show Cinema Kansas City, now in its fifth year, and has acted in many things. I've seen her in many things over the years. I might want to mention here the movie with George Clooney, Up in the Air. She was one of George Clooney's lady friends. We can say it that way. Was that exciting for you to do that?
Oh, to be in the film with George Clooney?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. He was just a joy to work with. That's probably one of my very favorite acting experiences of my life so far. So he was just great. He was a total professional. Everything about working on that set and working on that film was professional at the highest level, and just really, really fun. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Well, that's so. Well, you both have been involved in some very professional productions along the way. Blue Man Group in Chicago. I've seen them at Starlight, the coordination that has to go on.
Mm-hmm. I worked there for 11 years at the Bryce Street Theater in Chicago, and I was one of the musicians in the band, so I didn't have to paint myself blue, but...
pink and yellow,
pink,
right?
And yellow.
Really?
Yeah.
Pink and yellow.
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, indeed, there's a lot of coordination going on, a lot of moving parts involved, but it was super fun.
Now, I read a description of your sound. How do you describe your sound?
Oh, that's a good question. We like to think that we take this music from the Prohibition era, Prohibition jazz era, and add a kind of a modern element to it. Aaron and I both come from really a rock and roll background, but we're really music lovers, so we love all sorts of things. We found a common thread in the music from the 20s and the 30s and started there covering that kind of music, but decided to kind of, I don't know, put a more modern spin on it.
Yeah, I would say we're working with a vintage vibe, but for a modern audience. So we... You know, all the influences that we've had in our lives so far all come to bear on this. So people say, I remember we were playing a show in Fort Collins, Colorado, and a young man came up afterwards and he said, this is like, well, how did he say it?
He described it as, it was like 1920s heavy metal.
Which I love.
Yeah,
that.
I think, and I love hearing stuff like that because I think that's kind of our rock influence coming into this.
That's the perspective he came from, heavy metal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything he sees, he kind of sees through those eyes.
Right. Yeah. But he totally got, it was relevant and fresh to him, even as he was a pretty young man, but that was exciting to us that that he found it totally stimulating and exciting. And, you know, people say things like it's just impossible to sit still or to not smile while you're listening to one of our concerts. And I love those kind of comments. And probably my favorite comment is when someone comes up after a show and says, I was tired and or I had a hard day and oh, I wasn't going to come. And I rallied and I came and I'm so glad that I came because I feel so much better after the concert. And that's probably the best comment that there is. So we hope we make people feel good with our music. It makes us feel good.
Well, sure. I'll bet so. It really does. You wanted to talk about your recent trip to Nashville. You're not going to move there, are you?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. We'll visit a lot.
Yeah. Well, we just finished recording our fourth album. I can't even believe that. I don't know where the time has gone. But our second studio album, or I guess our third. Oh, God. These numbers are baffling me. Time goes so fast. So we just completed the studio album, and it's going to feature our Loose Change Orchestra, a newly expanded Loose Change Orchestra on this album. So we've added Kyle Dahlquist on trombone. So we have a small horn section. And the thing that's interesting about this album, or unique about this album, is that in the past we've done mostly classic American songbook songs and some hidden gems with a couple of originals or covers. This album is going to be all original tunes with just one cover song. So we're very excited about that. It feels like a new phase, a new step in our career, and we just had a tremendously exciting time in Nashville and feel great about it. Can't wait to share what we did down there.
And it was also our first time working with a producer. All of our first records we self-produced. And hadn't really understood how important and vital the role of a producer is to making a record and to actually co-writing and arranging tunes. It was really interesting. It was rewarding and challenging and humbling all at the same time. And ultimately, we came out with what we think is a great sounding record. It's not done yet, but it's we're pretty proud of what we've done.
So, well, you have some concerts coming up. Of course, I've been hearing it plugged on the Royals telecast for several days now. Yeah. Saturday, September 5th, Arts Night at the K.
Go Royals.
Featuring Victor and Fanny. Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be really fun. That's coming up this Saturday. This is we got to play out at the K last year as well. This night we're especially excited because this is part of Arts KC Night. For the first time, Arts KC is having a special night out there. There's going to be vendors and booths and information, and from 4:30 to 6 before the game, and then I think first pitch is 6:10. So come on out early, and we'll be playing music out there. It's just going to be, the weather's supposed to be perfect, and of course the Royals are doing
all
right.
If they have a big sellout crowd, like around 40,000, will that be your biggest audience, do you think?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
For sure, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not playing in the middle of the stadium.
That's true.
Well, hopefully they'll put us on the Jumbotron again.
Yeah. I hope they do.
Well, we have a little in because our bass player, Rick Willoughby, happens to work for the Royals, so... we get a little extra Jumbotron time. So
yeah.
We'll see. But they always put him up there.
Oh, sure. Of course they're going to do that. Very few seats remaining for your performance on Friday the 4th at the Corbin Theater in Liberty. But you will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited about that. It's we're doing more performing arts series and theaters this year than we've done in the past, and the Corbin Theater approached us about participating in one of their concert series, and we were absolutely delighted. It's a beautiful historic theater on the square in downtown Liberty, and I think there's just a handful of tickets left for that. That's going to be a really special night. That'll be a duo show. We'll be telling some stories. It'll be a fun, intimate evening that we'll spend together. So grab those tickets. If anybody's thinking about going, you should definitely get those tickets right away, because I think they're almost gone. That's Friday night.
And then Thursday, September 10th, one of KK... maybe I should only speak for me. One of us here at KKFI's favorite places, Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You'll be appearing with Johnny Boyd.
Yeah, Johnny Boyd and his fabulous swing lover band.
Yeah.
He's from Portland. We've done a few tours with him and played some shows with him. And he former lead singer from Indigo Swing from the 90s. And he's got his own group now. And they're just awesome. They do real 50s style kind of swing stuff, original music. And
All original, just outstanding musicians. It's a really fun band. So we'll be opening up for him at Knuckleheads. Is that a week from Thursday, I guess?
Yep. Thursday, September 10th. So, yeah. Yes, it's a week from Thursday, not that far away, down at Knuckleheads. Well, I could just hear the people at home or driving in their car saying, "Let them play, Michael. Let them play." So if you're all ready,
yeah.
Let's hear some of the sound of Victor and Fanny.
Let's start with Elaine. We're going to do a cut off the album that we have out right now, which we've really had a lot of fun playing, and that's Live at the Living Room Theater. So this is Elaine.
That's really catchy. Do you have people head bobbing in the ass?
I thought Elaine was a more common name than it is. I have a good friend named Elaine, so actually, I know a couple ladies named Elaine. But it's interesting when we go out on tour, we always ask, "Is there anyone named Elaine in the audience?"
Yeah, and before we play that song,
rarely is. I always want to dedicate it to someone, so we usually end up dedicating it to my friend back home here.
We just stopped asking.
We're speaking of Victor and Penny here on ArtSpeak Radio. Maria is away, but the fun is still in play. And I'm Michael Hogue. We're here talking with Victor and Penny. Talked a little bit earlier about their trip to Nashville. Anything more, Jeff, you want to say about that?
Well, only that we're excited to get this record done. I mean, it's all recorded and mixed, and so we're just waiting now to finish the mastering. And what we're going to do differently with this one than we've done with other records is we've actually got promotion in place, and it's gonna have a set release date, which is going to be after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to promote it to folk radio and to Americana radio in the U.S. and in Europe. So we're super excited about it. We've hired a new graphic designer to do all the design work on
it. Does that mean Victor and Penny will be traveling to Europe?
Oh, yes, of course.
That would be great for you.
Yes.
Well, it's been, we've been very involved with Folk Alliance since it came to town, like so many of us have. It's just been a really wonderful addition to our community to have them here. And through Folk Alliance, we met the person that's doing our radio promotion. And so that's been a great relationship, and she's in Nashville as well. And then we also met a terrific community radio person from Scotland.
Wow.
And he's just been great. And so he's been promoting Live at the Living Room, our current album, in Europe. And we're being played currently in 8 countries overseas. Mm. And I've had some great responses. Oh, the guy in France.
A French DJ said that of our CD, he said, France has an illness, and this CD is like a good medicine.
Oh, wow. France would be very sarcastic.
Yeah.
Especially towards themselves. Sounds like that's exactly where he was going there.
I think he likes the CD, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's been really fun. So we're excited to take the new studio CD over after the release date is slated right now for January. So it would be, you know, in the spring when we go over, but we're excited about that. This all feels really new to us and very exciting. It's also, I won't lie to you, very expensive.
I'll bet so.
You know, this is the plight of the musician without a record label. Like, there's so much discussion nowadays about the breakdown of the music industry over the last, decade or more now. And so the good part is, of course, that we're able to make decisions about our own album and where we want to go and how we want it to sound. And so the artistic control is great without a record label. But then when it comes to this part of just literally needing capital to get the album out so that it can sell and we can repay the costs and just to reach a larger audience and to move into a new genre of music, just it's very expensive. And so we've been fortunate. We have such great resources here in Kansas City. We just received a microloan through the city. You know, I don't know if you know that the city of Kansas City has a new program, and they're doing microlending for artists. And we were able to get a small loan through that, which is fantastic. I think our city is offering some direct and concrete, very real help to help artists be better business people and make it. So we've appreciated that, and we also have a little crowd sourcing going, which you can find on our website at victorandpenny.com. So we appreciate, of course, all of our people here in Kansas City. And we feel like we spend a lot of time out on the road. We've been traveled through 36 states, 145,000 miles in our car.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, felt like it.
And we
try to represent Kansas City in its best light, and we're excited about what's happening here and just grateful for
As they say in sports, no pain, no gain.
Right.
But
absolutely.
You're taking a step up, which could lead you Lord knows how high.
Right. And we just feel like it's time for us to do that. It's time in our lives and in our career. And we're excited about the new songs that we've written there. Some of them are so new, we've not even played them out yet. So our fans and friends, they're going to be get a little treat when they get this album.
And your appearance in the film doesn't hurt either.
Doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
Well, I can hear the audience now. They want to hear more. So are you ready to give us another one?
Sure.
I can't wait.
Okay. Yeah, well, why don't we'll do one of the new ones that's going to be one of the ones that's going to be on the new album.
Yeah.
This is called Your Revelation. Today don't strain my life, my heart, all rearranged. What's the difference between what is real and a dream? What is and what seems to be? Poets are saying there are things to be seen better than we can dream. Well, maybe it's true. I know I never knew a dream as fine as you. You spoke and I woke as if I was dreaming all of my days away. And what was, it no longer is. Honey, you know dream. You're a revelation. Scientists saying we spent 6 of our years lost in our dreams. We all play the same part. We all want a new start. Same desires of our heart. But the shoes in my closet and the shade in my lamp and the heart in my chest tell me nothing looks different, but everything's different. Oh, I couldn't have guessed. You spoke and I woke, as if I was dreaming all of my days away. And what was, well, it no longer is. Honey, you know, dream, your revelation. Wake me up, honey, if I'm falling. No, I don't want to dream, it's true. Now the only dream that I hear calling, oh, is it real you?
Victor and Penny, you can see them in person Friday night at the Corbin Theater. Very few seats available. And Saturday, September 5th, Arts Night at Royal Stadium. Arts Night at the K.
Go Royals.
Doing pretty well this year. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody has an off night, but overall doing great. You can't do better than the best record in the American League. And we have one of the best here with us, Victor and Penny. It sounds like you're really on the upswing.
Yeah, thank you. We're excited about that Knucklehead show, too, coming up. If you haven't seen Johnny Boyd, he's just really a treat. He's the old school crooner. I mean, he just looks slick in his band of handsome gentlemen and just a stellar performer. So we're excited about that next week, too.
Yeah, sounds great. I want to ask for another song, but I should ask the question or two first. That's what the audience is saying, I'm sure they're saying. Let to play at least one more, Michael. That's right. Yeah. But you have things coming up, and you can go to their website. I saw some of their past gig dates and future gig dates at victorandpenny.com.
Yeah.
Exciting for you, especially if you end up going to Europe and becoming a big hit over there. Are they thinking of booking you on any of the national talk shows? Not that KKFI isn't great, but some of the national shows. Any feelings?
We did get to meet Garrison Keillor a couple of weeks ago. So
you would be perfect for his show.
Well, we think so too.
Imagine that to him.
I'm from Northwest Iowa, originally right up by the Minnesota border. Uh-huh. So I grew up listening to Prairie Home Companion and all those uptight Northerners. Those are the folks in my hometown. Those are my people.
So the women are strong.
Yes.
The men are handsome, and the kids are all above average. That's right.
So it was just a real treat because a guitarist that Jeff played with in Chicago is now Garrison Keillor's guitarist for the tour. So we were in contact with him. His name is Chris, and he said, "Oh, let me get you backstage passes." So we drove home from Nashville. It was the day we drove home from Nashville, drove right to Starlight Theater to the show, literally. We were exhausted, but very excited to see Mr. Keillor. And had the opportunity to meet him afterwards and speak with him a little bit. And he was interested in what we were doing, and we told him about ourselves. And
he said specifically that he was looking for a tall, beautiful brunette ukulele player.
you did, actually.
Well, you certainly filled the bill, I must say.
So that was a dream of mine to meet him because I'm a real fan. And who knows? You never know how things will turn out.
He has a CD we're expecting to call any day now.
Oh,
yes. We would be honored beyond belief.
You never do know. I suppose you like music better than acting, but I don't know.
Gosh, that is an interesting question. I've done them both my whole life. My formal training is in theater. I have a degree in theater performance. And, of course, I've done so much acting, but I could never stop my music habit on the side sort of equally. And they're kind of, in some ways, they conflict because they all happen at night usually. So it's hard to be in a show. I was in a show at the Unicorn a couple of years ago, and it made it really hard to do shows because all my nights and weekends were filled then.
It's a demanding schedule.
Yeah, so right now I just love the music that we're doing. I love this project. Being in this project has just been an absolute joy. I love the music that we're writing right now. We're excited about this new creative period that we're in. And I have no plans to get out of this pocket anytime soon.
I should ask more questions of Jeff. No intention of skipping over you, but arranging music, that's a difficult thing to do. Do you like doing it the way you're doing it now? With a record producer, they'll probably want to share in that.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the great things about this record is I really got a chance to do a lot of arranging, especially with, we've added new horn parts, and there's horn section parts which have to be written and composed and then actually written out and arranged and fit into the tunes, and then and really we all work together on it, on the arranging. But it was really fun in the studio to kind of put it all under the microscope and be able to see what we were going to come out with. Most of it, the cool thing is most of it was written out ahead of time and rehearsed really well, and everyone had their charts. But one tune, we really went into the studio with it, kind of, I'd say, 75% finished, and we literally just kind of worked out the horn parts on the spot and kind of arranged them on the spot, and that was challenging, but also really fun, and really rewarding. So,
yeah. We're excited about the new sound, the expanded, a little bit thicker band sound on this album. We should also mention our guys that play on this terrific mm-hmm. album. It's James Isaac plays reeds with us, Rick Billet Willoughby on upright bass, and then the newest Loose Change Orchestra expansion member is Kyle Dahlquist on trombone. So they just did a bang-up job, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. Won't be for a while yet, though. So you have to stay content with Live at the Living Room.
Oh, sure. Well, can I ask for one more number? If there's a charge, just Bill Maria here at our Speak Radio.
We'll tell her that you ran up her bill while
that's right.
She was gone.
Sure.
Do you want to do... Let's see it.
This next one we're going to do is the one cover tune off of our next record, and typically we would cover tunes from the 20s and 30s, but this one's actually from the 80s. This is a Sting tune called Moon Over Bourbon Street, and we've given it a bit of a sort of old gypsy jazz twist.
Street tonight, I see faces as they pass beneath the pale lamp light. I've no choice but to follow that call. Bright lights and the people and the moon and all. I pray every day to be strong. What I do must be wrong. Oh, you'll never see my shade or hear the sound of my feet while there's a moon over Bourbon Street. Like an innocent lamb. never see my shade or hear the sound of my feet. While there's a moon over the street.
I can't wait to hear your new album now.
Yeah,
coming out right around the first of the year, did you tell me, Jeff?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, sounds great. Victor and Penny, Aaron McGrain is Penny, Jeff Freeling is Victor. They'll be appearing, Friday night, September 4th at the Corbin Theater. Very few seats available, and since we've been talking about it, they're probably gone. But you can check anyway. Saturday the 5th, Arts Night at the K, 4:30 to 6, right before the Royals-White Sox game on Saturday. And then another big gig on Thursday, September 10th, at Knuckleheads with Johnny Boyd, 8 o'clock p.m. And then probably out on the road again.
Yeah, we are, actually. We're headed to my hometown in Spencer, Iowa, a little bit later in September to do a several-day gig at the Clay County Fair, which is a huge, there's like 340,000 people go to this thing. It's huge over many days, and it'd be my first time to ever play there, so.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
right?
It actually is.
Think how many friends and relatives will be really impressed. Or not.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, that's just Aaron from school. Yeah. So, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Website, you can get all this information on dates and probably information about the new album and stuff, victorandpenny.com. Thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
So
and playing. Maria will be pleased, I know. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new art exhibit opening in town, Art in the Square, when we return. You're listening to Art Speak Radio right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. Welcome back to the Art Speak Radio Show with Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm Michael Hoag, sitting in for her. Maria's away, but the fun is still in play, and I'm having a lot of fun here today. Can't mess it up too much when you have great guests like Victor and Penny. Our next group of people are artists. They're going to talk about the new project, Art in the Square, which will have its run from September 10th to mid-December at Washington Square Park. That's where they have that huge statue of George Washington, just right out in front, really, of the Crown Center Hotel down there, kind of at that intersection. And as you drive by, you can't miss that big statue. And their exhibit will be going on with a big reception on opening night, September 10th, from 5:30 to 7:30, right there in the park. And here to tell us all about it, some of the artists, some of the coordinators will be with us. Caleb Bowman, for instance, is a coordinator with the project. He's going to tell us perhaps how it all came about. And I know there are artists out there listening, Caleb. They want to know, how do I get involved in this in the future?
Sure. So the project came about quite some time ago. It's been in the making for a little while. But the city came to us. We have a company called Constructible Inc. And when they started talking about wanting to do something for local artists and to do something out in the parks, we kind of immediately brought together our team, and that was, for me, it's Bill Lapintas from Lapintas Research and Design. And with our two companies, we went ahead and made an official joint venture called Superfirm, which is really our creative engine that has helped put this whole project together.
Bill is with us as well, Bill Lapintas. He somewhat described it. How do you describe your part in the project?
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I've been helping sort of coming at it as a strategist, and we've been touting the five finalists and leading up to the event opening and through social media. So we've been heavy on the Instagram account and referencing back to the city's website as well. So we're just trying to build up momentum and get everybody out, as you mentioned earlier, a park that's almost as a blink of an eye to some people. They'll drive by it every day and don't realize that it's such a large park in the area and a great opportunity to showcase five outstanding pieces of art.
Well, you do tend to walk by it, but boy, once you see that big statue of George Washington, and it is oversized. Our first president has never been bigger than he is in Washington Square Park. That will be happening, of course. Opening night reception on September 10th, and we have two of the artists with us as well. Denise DiPiazzo, the name of your piece is called Oculus. Pull the microphone closer to your mouth and tell us how you got involved in this project and a little about yourself, perhaps.
Well, I'm an architect of 25 years and also just recently graduated with an MFA in sculpture from KU.
And I know another person who graduated from KU in sculpture. She doesn't want to talk about it, but I hope you will.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start to think about public art. So I want to think about art where lots of people can come and gather into a piece. So most of my pieces are larger, and they're experiential, so it's really something I want you to get inside to be able to walk around and kind of get a feel of being inside this piece. So this is not unlike some of my other pieces where I'm creating these lenses for viewing nature. A lot of times are set within a natural setting, an architectural folly or something like that, that you can view out into the world and maybe see something that you haven't seen before or see something ordinary or familiar in a new way. So this piece is centrally kind of located within the Washington Square Park, and because this park is really centrally located around downtown and Crown Center, it has these viewports out to all landmarks all around in different directions, and then also an Oculus up to see the moon, because there's going to be a total lunar eclipse on September 27th.
There's a lot of mysterious goings on connected with this September, isn't there?
So we will have some opportunities to see this thing as it goes through the seasons and the changes.
Yeah, I've always been interested in sculpture, I imagine. I would think that would be one of the most difficult mediums, because you're sculpting. It's not like you can get a brush and put a little something in there. You have to think ahead of time. How finely am I going to carve this?
And you can't hit the undo button.
That's right.
Which I wanted to do this week. If you
Oh, no. Once it's done, I suppose.
Yeah.
How many times did you do this one?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times did you do this one?
How many times did I do this one? There's a few back and forths, but it's...
Do you have little tricks how you can...
Generally pick? Going forward,
do you have,
yes.
Do you
there's always got to be tricks.
And do you change your mind when you're partway through?
Well, sure, because once you see it, and it's in three dimensions, it's never as you imagined it, and most of the time for the good.
Sure. Well, let's go to Will Vanerson. The name of yours is called Moon Garden. It all kind of fits in, I guess.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, not specifically as tied to the heavens as Denise's piece. It was I found this RFP, you know, request for proposals back in June, and thought, man, I don't think I have anything for this project. I don't know what to do. Well, I guess I'll come up with something. So I went and spent some time down in the park, which is something that I'd actually never done, and thought, maybe other people should come down and spend some time in this park. And there's just something about having sculpture out in a green space that draws you in, and it's almost a transformative type of experience. Like you start to view the park as more of a gallery when there is a sculpture to encounter within the park. And so I was looking at the features of Washington Square, and it has a very horizontal orientation. Like the way the trees are pruned, it just sort of compresses the horizon into a very heavy, almost letterbox sort of feel. So the project that I came up with would be more like landscape-oriented installation of these sort of bulbous, undulating forms that'll draw you in from across the park, from, say, Pershing or Grand. But then you experience it sort of a bodily level once you get in that, what I call the gallery space here, in air quotes.
Yeah.
And as far as the title of the piece, I came up with what I wanted to build and thought, well, what would I call this? And in a sort of tangential, maybe abstract way, Moon Garden just sounded like a good fit. And these will be galvanized steel pieces that have a bit more of a soft, like gentle presence, I would almost say, than a lot of abstract metal art you see out in the world. So it'll be something.
I would think being in the park, I would think that would be an excellent way to get the perspective. Did you consider that yourself, Denise?
Yeah, well, in fact, I was always like, where is Washington Square Park? So I went down there, and so then you begin to notice things. And then I always try to create a piece of art that is specific to its place. And so to me, that place was this very central, kind of triangular-shaped piece with these fantastic views out in all directions of completely different things. And so mine will be this 10-foot sphere, and it'll kind of appear to be white. But as you get up to it, you'll see more and more color. And then as you look out of the view tubes, then you'll see the vibrant color of all the different landmarks you're looking at.
Sure. Did you guys have a general theme in mind, Caleb or Bill?
We did. Whenever we created the RFP, we had a couple very specific things that we wanted to do, and being an artist myself and Bill being a designer, we kind of really almost reverse engineered the RFP process, where we actually thought about it from the artist perspective of actually doing an installation there first, and then taking a step back and saying, okay, well, what are the parameters that we wish that we could always do in an RFP in submissions that we've done in the past? And so it kind of came about where we knew we wanted to do something site-specific. We knew we wanted to get local artists down there. And the other kind of main thing that we don't see a lot of in Kansas City is we wanted something that was a temporary exhibition and not a permanent, where the city gets strapped with maintaining one kind of giant piece of art. This, with being able to do it with temporary art, we're getting multiple artists, and we can do it again next year. We can hit a larger group of local artists. So it's actually the city's kind of initiative, and it's the Municipal Arts Council or Commission that started this. This is really them truly supporting our local artists, and it's, you know, our city does such a great job, and they're really pushing for this even more now.
Yeah, now there are three other artists that couldn't make it today, right, but we would love to hear about them and their pieces. Jake Balcom, if I'm saying his name,
that's
right.
Correct. Jake Balcom.
Yeah, what can you tell me about his project? It's called Modern Respite.
Modern Respite, and he is actually doing a hanging aluminum piece that has I don't know, based upon geometry and kind of extensions in all directions, but it's going to be a hanging piece. One thing that we did, and I think we've done very well, is we have some very playful pieces that are going to be a part of the project, and we also have some more kind of serious and formal pieces. So in total, I think there's going to be over 100 works of art down there created by these five artists, which is, to me, is just an amazing feat that's been done in the matter of 4 months.
Sure, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation. R-I-E-E-G-A-W-A.
Rie Igawa.
Okay, very good.
And she has a fantastic and playful piece that is going to interact with the trees.
It's called Tree Huggers.
It's called Tree Huggers, and it has elements of what the title explains, but in, like I said, it will appeal to everyone that comes down to the park.
Sure, and finally we have K-A-T-I-T-V-I-V-A-N-E-N.
Kati Toivonen.
Okay.
And she actually...
Flowering Wall.
Yes, yeah, she has a... These are all going to be photographs that are going to be mounted onto the pillars of the inside the north railing of the park. And it's, and her piece alone is what was really pushing the numbers up. She did a photograph for every single pillar, and it's over 70 pillars.
Yeah.
And so there's color, there's black and white, there's experience, there's form, there's all kinds of, like I said, we've really covered the gamut as far as the types of work that are going to be done there.
Nice variety going on. We're speaking with two of the artists and two of the coordinators from Art in the Square, a municipal art commission, Kansas City Parks and Recreation project. It'll be going on in Washington Square Park. The actual project will be on display for the public to see continuously, I'm assuming, September 10th through mid-December at Washington Square Park. The big opening reception is September 10th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Should people just come down to the park?
Absolutely.
Can I also add,
absolutely,
you can preview some of these pieces and even the concepts. We've been profiling the artists leading up to next week on Instagram, at superfirm,
okay,
super underscore firm. We're profiling the artists. You get a little preview of some of their pieces. And, again, as we get closer to that event, we'll locate where all those pieces are in a key map, and we'll be able to hit the ground running, so to speak.
Yeah, exciting project for you, Will.
Yes, like this, like I said before, I didn't know if I really had it in me. I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this? But it's the sort of project that this really could be the next step for me, undertaking something this size, and then you say, well, I did this one, why not go hit up another more ambitious RFP? And so it's just been a real real charge to go through this process, mm-hmm, and have like and be so close, like in the final stretch of this project right now, and think, you know what, this might have actually worked. It's not a done deal yet, but
you're gonna make adjustments right up until opening night.
I know. And what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing, right? You got to think nothing can possibly go wrong.
Absolutely not.
That's right. What about Denise?
Oh, always. It's especially always a pleasure to get to do work in your own town, and to get to engage the place more that you live in. You know, I go on travel and I do done architecture all over the place, but it's really great to be able to do something, and it just feels great to do something in your own town. And also that I get to know a new place within the town that I wasn't familiar with, and now I can take everybody down there.
Well, sure, everybody can see your work. Yeah. Where before now, where has your sculpture been on display at?
Oh, I've done some stuff in Lawrence. I've done some stuff out in Lone Jack. And I'm going out for some more national RFPs on things, but this feels great because I can just run down to the site. I can go look at it, make my maps, and try to figure out what's going to go on.
Oh, absolutely. You know. What about Will? Do you have anything in mind you want to do?
Oh, well, like Denise said, it's nice that this sort of program is in Kansas City again. Because it's good when a city has several tiers opportunity for artists. Like, besides the massive projects, just like the temporary things that can, you know, engage on different scales and different levels. Like, I would say Chattanooga, Tennessee is a good example. Like, lots of big projects going on there, lots of just things on the sidewalk, ongoing rotating exhibitions. And it's great to for the thing that you're working on, for like these projects to just be down the street. I mean, it's part of, they're still part of my life, even though like moved on to something else.
Oh, sure.
And because that's the thing, if you you invest like a lot of energy, like physical, emotional, into these larger scale projects, and then they go away for years at a time.
That's true.
And that's true. So this will be a different experience.
It will.
And I hope that like it's easy to live with. I think it will be.
I think so too. Closing comments from Caleb?
Yeah, I think that both Denise and Will said it very eloquently. Is that this? You know, one of the other ideas behind this RFP was that it's also kind of a type of project where you're interacting with the city, you're interacting with other artists, and it's really giving you this professional development where it's going to give you the confidence to move on and try something that's bigger or in a different part of the country, something on a national level. And I think that was one thing that we did think about too, is how can we create a process for artists so that they can gain some professional development and gain some of that confidence. And I think that if anything, at the end of the day, that I think we've done that really successfully, even up till now. And I know once everything's installed too, you know, I think it's going to be very well received, and I think it's really going to push all five artists into kind of a next step for themselves.
We hope so.
Yeah, so we're really proud of that.
Well, thank you very much for coming, Caleb, one of the co-coordinators, as well as Bill Lepentis.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And two of the artists as well, Will Vanerson. His project is Moon Garden.
Garden.
And Denise DiPiazzo, her piece is called Oculus. Part of the Art in the Square project. It will open with a reception on September 10th at 5:30 p.m. right until 7 at Washington Square Park. The entire project will be there from September 10th through mid-September, so you can go down to Washington Square Park, I guess, anytime they have
anytime.
The lights on, and you can see it going on down there.
And if you if anybody does want any more information, again, we are on Instagram doing studio shots, and also you can go to the city's website at kcmo.gov /art, and it'll give you all the information from the Municipal Arts Commission, which is who put on the project.
Well, thanks all of you so much for coming down here.
Thanks, Mike.
Telling us all about it. I'm going to plan on seeing it.
Great.
I know that.
Cool.
Sounds exciting. Looking forward to see what all of you have to do down there. Thank you very much for coming. Maria will be back with you next week. Don't know who she's having yet. I'm sure she'll have all kinds of stories to tell you about her travels and adventures next Wednesday here on Arts Beat Radio. Don't forget to check me out Mondays on Arts Magazine. Next Monday, I'm going to feature Dance in the Park. It comes around once a year, the Saturday after Labor Day weekend, and we'll hear about all the fine acts that will be going on. And then Shakespeare in the Parking Lot. You have Shakespeare on the stage. We've talked about Shakespeare in the Park. At the Alcott Arts Center, they have Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, and that's going to come up coming up on the show next Monday. They'll tell us all about it. Nice to have you. Jeff Harshbarger is next. He's going to play some fine jazz. And then at 3 o'clock, the legendary Groovy Grant right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. And as